Okay, this topic I want to speak about tonight. I prepared it during the summer. And they have these chinuch vads. And I'm not there the first half, so I usually try and prepare it one or two. This one I really wanted to give, but there was just no opportunity. So I said, okay, I'll save it for during the year. It's really not something that's so nogea, like you're not going to implement these things now, but maybe help to understand a lot of what you hear goes on in the Welt. And Bez Hashem, one day everybody will be in some position of leadership. That's just the nature of adult life, is you have responsibilities both as a parent and as a member of the community. Some people have more or less, but everyone has, you know, responsibilities. So this is a very important topic, and I developed this the insights here just from the School of Hard Knocks. So my own personal experiences. And I start off with one Chazal that I think depicts what the topic is. The name of the people who put this on to the website, facing the reality of leadership. Okay, so that's the topic for tonight. I stumbled onto this Chazal. I almost didn't believe it. And it's not a schmooze, so the topic is valid even if the schmooze is wrong. I happen to think the schmooze is right. I never said this. Here we go. The pasuk says in Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, Hareini nos kvodecha, show me your covet. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem to show him your covet, and the Mefarshim, Mother Rishonim, say that what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem, he wanted to see Hashem mamish. Well, I don't know what that means even. What was Moshe Rabbeinu asking? I don't know, but the Mefarshim say he wanted to see the Ribbono Shel mamish. Okay, so. The Ribbono Shel Olam answers, "Vayomer ani avre kol tuvi al panecha, vayomer lo sucha liros es panai ki lo yirani adam v'chai." Okay, let me see if I can find the Sephorno here. Yeah, the Sephorno says, "Ani avre kol tuvi al panecha." Well, basically, Hashem said back to Moshe Benu, "I'm going to show you a lot of tov, a lot of good." Zok the Sephorno. I don't want you to think that I'm withholding my essence from you because I'm not a Baal Chesed. Because I'm going to show you whatever good I could show you. And then on the words, I can't show you my essence because if I do, you'll die. You cannot fathom it. So the Sephorno writes over there, don't think I'm withholding this because of my lack of greatness. It's because you're unable to accept, to mekabel my essence. Shelo tuchal lekabel eshefa ha'or. You're unable to be mekabel, to absorb the greatness, the overpowering light that I will shed. Just analyze this for 1 second. Moshe wants to understand the functioning of the world. Ramban says he wants to see Hashem mamish. Hashem said, I can't. It's not because I'm not a Baal Chesed, and it's not because I am not capable, like I'm a fraud. Just analyze what that means. It means it's that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he answered Moshe Rabbeinu, it's possible, if not for all these apologies, that the Ribbono Shel Olam not apologized to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's possible, l'chora, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have walked away saying, doesn't anything good for me, doesn't care. He's probably nothing to see anyway. How can you say such a thing? But what else is the pshat? It's not because I'm not a Baal Chesed. That means what he thinks Moshe Rabbeinu might think. it is because he's not a Baal Chesed. It's not because I am a fraud. It's not because, what was the front of the words? It's not because I'm a chisaron hashpa'asi, I'm lacking in my hashpa, in my abilities. So what is the pshat? Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say such a thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi Shabbanavian, who would reach such a high level, this is right by Matan Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu took the plunge to say, can you imagine the level of closeness? Rebbe, I want to give you a hug, Kamat. You know, like, he felt so close to Moshe. Imagine the level he was on at that moment to actually come out with the question. Don't we all have these opportunity to come out with the question? You know, just show me your essence. And if Ribbono Shel Olam would say no, he would think that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not a Baal Chesed, doesn't care about me, or that he's Chas V'Shalom, some kind of fraud. We see from here a very important yisod that I wasn't 100% either. I realize, wasn't expecting that you get accused of a lot of things. Imamish people, it's a natural tendency. When people don't get what they want, they could say and feel the most horrific things. And in case you think that they're totally off the wall, how can they say something? You know what I did for you? I took care of this, I took care of this, I took care of this, I took care of this. I remember one parent accusing me that the only reason we were following through on some disciplinary action, kids, many years in the old building, the only reason you're not giving in is because you're a control freak. You're a control guy, and you won't give in. Said, no, that's not the case. No, they couldn't convince them. And another time, I remember we had some information of someone doing something really, really inappropriate, and point where something which was like, you know, really risky behavior, obligated to tell the parent, you know, and insist on intervention. And the parent wanted to know how I found out the information. I couldn't tell them that information. I got friends in low places. I couldn't tell the information. So they said, no, we don't even believe it happened. We don't believe it happened. What? We think you made it up. They accused me of making it up. I chuckled. I said, come on. But that's what they think. And it was like troubling me for years. These two accusations troubling me for years until I stumbled onto this chazal. I was learning Hoshana Rabbah once in Queens. I found this chazal and I wrote down the Mar Mokum on an index card. And I stuffed it into my box and I totally forgot about it. And then about a year ago, I found that index card. I said, oh yeah, well, I remember I saw something very nice over there. This was it. And a person has to realize that that's human nature. Human nature. The Shiva said that Reb David was accused of the craziest things. The end was very difficult for Reb David. Whole, leaving of Tor Vadas and was a all crazy, crazy, you know, ordeal. He got accused of such things you wouldn't believe it. Rabbi Luban speak about the of Itzala. He had to leave. I'm not good with all the names of the cities. Rabbi Itzala. He was accused and he had to leave. And there's a story of Rabbi Itzala Zalman Meltzer. He had to leave Europe. He was accused of the crimes and people who had vendettas and we presume Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. You know, that's the story. The story is written, in some of the history biographies that are worthy of reading. But a person has to mamash be prepared. You have to be prepared for it. You have to know that that's mamash part of the responsibility. Is that we have to know that those things are routine and don't think it's any different over here. You know, it's not any different.
Despite being as great as Moshe was?
Huh?
Despite being as great as Moshe was, he was still prone to that?
Because despite as being great as the Ribbono Shel Olam was, the Ribbono Shel Olam would have been accused of not being a Baal Chesed and being a fraud. So when I hear this chazal, I was so happy. Wow. And Moshe Rabbeinu, managed to have, you have lousy mispark, lousy kahila, a bunch of, the bad people. So go to a different town. No, this was Ribbono Shel Olam. Can't get better than him. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't get better than him. When I heard that, I said, wow, that's unbelievable. So almost you can't even get insulted. It's like human nature. It's like human nature. We do the same things, by the way. Think about it. We probably do the same things when we don't get what we want. I know what we think, what we feel. I remember over the years, I don't think I was like this, but you know, I had a roommate in Queens who mamish did not get up for minyan. Did not get up for minyan. That was the least of the problems. He used to get up at 10 to 1. It was my roommate. 10 to 1. It was good if you want to ever go take a nap. It was quiet, you know, quiet room. And it was going on for months, I remember. And that, you know, so it was a good guy, just probably some reasons. He was a normal guy, just for whatever reason, didn't get up. I think he set his alarm clock already, you know, because he wanted to daven before lunch. Because lunch is at 1:15. So, and one day, the reshiva, he comes in the room, he slams the doors, kicking, saying all these sorts of things. And I said, who are you talking about? He said, it's the reshiva. The reshiva asked him to leave the yeshiva. You know, I never heard a story like that. You know, but I was there. You know, he was livid. Like, wow, I thought, Rashiva, I couldn't imagine anyone. Rashiva had some very serious fights in his time. You know, a person has to realize that those things happen, and we have to question. We have the same time. This is normal. So it's very kedai. We have to catch ourselves. First of all, as leadership, it's kedai, but also, you know, when we're in position, we have to realize there's a tendency. It may feel that way. The Rabbanim have to deal with so much in their kehillahs. Had a funny interaction with Rabbi Lehrfeld. I know it's on tape, but it's a funny story. So when I came here first from my brother. I was here and I came in 94. I don't think my brother came in maybe 97. I think it was 3 years later. And I was davening in Young Israel. There was no yeshiva here in North Miami Beach at the time. So I was davening, you know, all the tefillahs mostly in Young Israel. And then my brother moved in 3 years later. So, like, everyone was joking, wow, they, you know, it's twins, and all the jokes. And I was davening in Israel once, and I said, I made a conversation with the rabbi. I said, Rabbi, you know, how, everyone was making the joke. So I asked Rabbi Lehrfeld, how are you going to be able to tell the difference between me and my brother? So Rabbi Lehrfeld did not mamish bat an eyelash. He did not miss a beat. Tells me as quickly as I asked the question, he responded, oh, that's easy. Now, I was davening in Young Israel already for 3 years. You know, I was paid up member. You know, parents, you know, taught me, you know, you go to shul, you have to become a member. Like yeshiva guys, I don't think I'm a member in a shul, but in the world, if you're davening in a shul, you have to be a member. So I paid my membership first. You know, in my membership, I was a good, like a bal bus. So, Rabbi Lehrfeld tells me, oh, it's easy. I said, how? You can tell the difference? He says, yeah. The one who'll give me no covet is the bal bus. That's what he told me. Like, he's used to it. That's how it is. Rabbanim, very often, do not get any covet, do not get covet, or they get a lot of bizarre. And a person has to recognize it. Rav Moshe Chaitz, that's how I used to say, and he quoted the from the altar, I have in my notes. He said, I'm just quoting it now, a Rav who the Kehillah doesn't want to throw out is not a Rav. But a Rav who gets thrown out, I'm sure there are exceptions to this, is not a mensch. In other words, I'm sure there are a bunch of them who've been thrown out who are chashuva people, so take it with a little grain of salt. What he means to say is that for a Rav to be able to get move the kehillah, and I think it's true as, you know, at Rebbeim, and also, if everyone's happy, it's perfect.
Something's wrong.
And no one wants to kill you, something's wrong. They should want to throw out the Rav. He doesn't understand us, whatever. But if they actually go through with it, it means you went too far. That's what the Alter was saying. He was trying to push the Rabbonim to not be complacent and just, oh yeah, you know, whatever happens, happens. You have to push. You have to know how much to push and how far to push. It's okay to push a little bit. And somebody said wants to, you know, throw you out. Okay, that's okay. The Alter said that's good. That's a sign of a Rav. If they don't want to throw you out, nobody wants to throw you out, you're not a good Rav. You have to be. It's good. And sometimes, you know, I hear in the yeshiva there are complaints that to a certain part is good. That means people are, you know, affected by it. And if nobody had any complaints, I don't know how good it would be. So you got to get, you know, push people around a little bit, but you got to, can't go too far. I get so, you know, feel so pushed, he has to leave. There's one other point I wanted to say. I don't have the Chazal here. It's in the Parshios in the end of Amidbar. So it says that by Aaron HaKohen, when he died, it says, Vayivku kol bnei Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu died, it says, Vayivku bnei Yisrael. So the, I think Rashi points out that with Medayik, by Aaron, it says the word kol, that more people cried for Aaron HaKohen than they did for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Aaron was involved in, you know, Ava Shalom and Ish Tereyehu. He was involved with Difa Shalom. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a tough job. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. He had to make all the tough decisions. And Mimela, it says that one of the results, one of the consequences of that leadership was that when, I'm exaggerating a drop to make the point, is that, you know, many people obviously were not so torn up when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter as they were when Aaron Cohen was nifter. That's mamish mind-boggling. Moshe was, you know, mamish the Moran shall call Yisrael. And my brother-in-law had an issue once. He was involved with a certain machlokas. And he went to ask a shayla from Shmuel Kamnetsky what he should do. So Rav Shmuel told him to take particular action. And my brother-in-law said, oh, they can be so angry if I do that. So Rav Shmuel Kamnetsky said, angry? I could fill a ballroom with the amount of people that would not say good Shabbos to me if I walked down the street. Shmuel Kamnetsky. I could fill a ballroom with people who wouldn't say good Shabbos to me if I walked down the street. So, okay. So I was once, you know, the real right wingers. I don't know. They have their poskim. I was once in I was at a bris in Brooklyn in a sukkah once. So I was telling this maisa over to someone. There's someone across the table who must have been listening. He said, Rav Shmuel, he could fill two ballrooms with people that were angry at him. That's why Hati Masak such a thing. He's the Gdoli Adar. The Gdoli Adar. You know, people have tainas, and we have to recognize that first we have to be ready for it. We're gonna go out into the world, we have to be prepared. People get angry at you. It's okay. You know, we can't get torn up about it. I mean, everybody wants to be liked. But that can't be what drives us. It's not the real world. You know, it's the human nature doesn't allow that to be. First of all, not everyone's gonna. You know, the Bonar Shalom was bavarning for Moshe Rabbeinu. I assume he understood that Moshe Rabbeinu might think that. I don't know if we are always so clever to always be able to bavarn every single thing. You know, people have a conversation, the guy gets insulted. And we ourselves, if we've ever been insulted, you know that people get insulted. People,
you know, like, you know, obviously, if we go into the job and we go into life knowing that this is what can happen, is there a way to like deal with it, like cope with it?
Yeah. Say, I would do the same thing as they would. If I was in that boat, I'd probably be thinking the same thing. Do your best to try and rectify the situation, and don't get insulted. People get, when they calm down, usually. Yeah, a great answer.
Yeah, it's a great thing. The thing that most fights get fueled by someone getting insulted. You don't get insulted. I remember why that. I hope you really don't believe what you just said. He said it again. So I can only tell you that furthest thing from the truth. Please, please. When you calm down, you'll realize that I'm not capable. I wouldn't be capable of doing that. And you just say it. Don't get insulted. They usually people apologize. Give them a chance to apologize. They see you don't get insulted. They usually apologize. That would be my best answer. Yeah. You know, you gotta be careful because you're fueling a feud. So yeah, you have to know when a person's insulting you. If they're meaning to insult you and mavazi you gotta know what the case is. But if it's an interaction, we just have to. If it's a story like this, we have to know that is human nature. Person, if Moshe Rabbeinu was gonna get. Like, what do you think he was insulted? Rabbi Sharfman had a beautiful shmooze once. I never heard him say it in yeshiva, but he said it at a vod amongst the alumni here. He said that by the whole maisa with other Marishon and Chava, it says by Matan Torah, it says Kosomar Leves Yaakov, if I'm quoting the pasuk right. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told the women to get ready for Matan Torah before the men. So Medrash Rabba says, why did Rebbeinu Shlom tell the women first? So the Medrash says, because Rebbeinu Shlom said, the last time I told the men first, the women got insulted. So he learned from this time, make sure you tell the women first. When was the last time he told the men first, not the women first? Adam Arishon. He told Adam not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. And Adam told Chava not to eat from, Hashem said, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. And the Medrash says what was really going on, that whole story with the Nachash, is Chava was insulted. Rebbeinu Shlom has a tzivu, he told you. Why didn't he tell me? Told you to tell me? You know, women's lib. Why didn't he tell me? So Chava was looking to undermine the mitzvah. The whole thing with Nachash, the Medrash says over there, was really just the way that it got manifested was because Chava was looking to undermine that mitzvah. So when the Nachash came, that was the way it happened. But what really made that happen is that Chava got insulted. So hey, you see another example that like here, you know, Chava got insulted that they're Rebbeinu Shlom for telling Adam. That's crazy. I'm sure it was all subconscious, of course. On the conscious level, or I don't know, daki dakis, you know, of this, but you know, can't get so insulted, and I think also we should use it when we have the opportunity to realize when we do get insulted, we have to examine ourselves. Do we really have a right to be insulted? You know, we maybe we're just. You know, I'm sorry when we get angry at the other person. They realize, like, maybe the person didn't do anything wrong. Like, the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't do anything wrong. He just told Moshe Rabbeinu, if I show you my essence, you're going to die. And that should have been enough for Moshe Rabbeinu. But no, Moshe Rabbeinu might think that the Rebbeinu Shlom is not a Baal Chesed. It's not because I'm not a Baal Chesed. And also to remember, you know, so when you do something, you have to mash, you have to bavorn worldly things. And all the words work. You know, oh, are you going somewhere? Can you take this? No, I can't. So you think the no is enough. Like, I don't have to do it for them. You have to say this now. I would love to do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it now. I remember when I was driving once, really, Bluth, Shlita. There was a hesped for a Moshe by the Shloshim in New Haven, Connecticut. And I was driving Rabbi Nyman, Rabbi Shmuel Nyman, to New Haven with Rabbi Bluth to speak. And that night, they were honoring Rabbi Palm. Tarvadas, and Rabbi Bluth had to be picked up by that dinner and then pick up Rabbi Nyman, and it was a whole hot. So I was the driver, and I went to pick up Rabbi Bluth from the dinner, who says, I never would have agreed to this had I known it was the night that the honoring of Palm, whatever. So I picked up Rabbi Bluth, and he took off his jacket in the car. He was in the back seat. He must have apologized to me literally from the beginning of that night to New Haven and back, literally 30 times. Or Mordechai, who he met me for the first time, I apologize for taking off my jacket, but I sweat profusely. He said that so many times to me. He told me so many times, I'm so sorry I'm taking off my jacket. To this day, I mean, he said it so many times, it got into my, do you know that it made such a roshim on me? It said, why is the Rav apologizing? He says, because when I'm in my house, I don't wear my jacket. You wear the jacket for covered habrius. You know, it's not for my covet, it's for your covet. And he felt that he was dishonoring me, disrespecting me by taking off his jacket in my presence. I couldn't fathom it. You know that to this day, when I give shir, I take off my jacket, and I apologize every day. There's one kid I assign in my class every year, one design, he's in charge of being mochel if I take off my jacket. Every year I pick a different kid. Usually it's a kid, one kid every day, if he's not there, I don't take it off. He said, Rebbe, what happened if I would say no? I said, if you'd say no, I wouldn't take it off. So one time they try it, and I don't take off my jacket. Okay, Rebbe, they feel so bad. After 15 minutes, you take off your jacket. But it made such a roshim on me that he was so worried about he was disrespecting me that I every single time I take off my jacket in their presence, I apologize, he mocked me. It made a big roshim on me. I'm saying he said 30 times. So that's a good habit to get into. Like when someone asks you something, to remember that, it's very likely maybe the person, it shouldn't be. It's natural for a person to feel very dejected, disappointed. I do so much for him. Who knows what they'll think? Apologize. I'm sorry. I would love to do it. I just can't now. I'm so sorry. And, to realize that people need to hear all that. I have one more maysa, but I think we should. People away from my so. Yeah. Question? Huh? Oh, there's the people in the Spanish.
The sword is not the mountain.
Right, I'll tell you one quick word. So you asked before, Zach, what do you do when you get, when someone insults you, what should you do? So I just went myself from, I saw from the Rashiva, it really does work. He used humor tremendous amount. He would laugh things off. Mamish laugh. There was one mice, there was a whole push in the Velt, in the yeshiva world to try and get, I don't know if it was Reagan or Bush, probably Bush, to pardon Jonathan Pollard. And Rav Thomas is in the back. You remember this? You remember this? There's one guy in yeshiva, one of our chaverim, who got very involved in this. And Rashiva, said it's good. You see how the world is so small. So there's one guy in yeshiva. The Rashiva would instruct him what to do. So he called Revelia, and Revelia told him what to do. And he got through to Mamash, the 25 Gedolim, the United States, 30 Gedolim in the United States. He got them all to sign that everyone should write letters to the president and the senators to free Jonathan Pollard. And that was a schmooz in itself, how all of a sudden, like, then they put advertisements, and then they raised money, and it was going all over the place. And you see, like, from one guy in yeshiva, got involved with the president of the United States. It was mamish major stuff. And the Yated was printing them, and the Yated was new in itself. So, Shiloh was going back and forth what to do. I remember the Rashiva didn't want them to write that Jonathan Pollard is a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, because Shomer Torah Mitzvahs is mashma that the person is a certain Madrega, and no one knew yet at the time. He is, but no one knew yet what level of Frumkeit he was. So he said, just write Shomer Mitzvahs. Shomer mitzvahs means he keeps mitzvahs, because we heard he had put on tefillin. But Shomer Torah mitzvahs, mashmi Shomer Shabbos. And no one knew if he was Shomer Shabbos. They wanted to wait. And you can't write it if you don't know. Then we found out Shomer Torah mitzvahs, like they were done on every single word. And one time, they were trying to get, there was a shaila that came up, and the posek they were speaking to
was not the reshiva, didn't have the time, so couldn't get through to that gadol. So he called the reshiva. It was one of reshiva's talmidim. Reshiva told him what to do. And the other posek found out that they did something that he didn't approve of. It must have been a dakas. I don't remember what it was. He got so angry. He was like, you know, insulting the reshiva. You know, why is Rav Penach making decisions? Something like that. Something really insulting. Oh, yeah, that was something like that. I was in the house when that was said. I don't know why this guy said it over to the reshiva, but he did. And I was in the house. The reshiva said over that story. Everyone that came and told the story was laughing. You know what he said? He said about me, he was laughing. And I said, Rebbe, why is reshiva laughing? I would be insulted. Reshiva told us, no, it's so funny. Look what he said. He laugh. And that reshiva, and that's a very good technique. The person, you know, try to laugh it off. You know, the person didn't mean it. He was upset at something. Laughter can be very, very helpful at times. You have to, you know, have a humorous side. You have to be able to laugh at yourself. It's an important thing to laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously, because you may stop believing all the things when you laugh at yourself. Yes.
How do you make sure that laughing at something that someone says doesn't
find it arrogant? I mean, it's like arrogance. Like the guy's really trying to insult you, and you just laugh.
So you should allow him to insult you, and you should become insulted, so that you're not.
I don't know. I'm just taking of a Maisa Rav that I saw that you could use laughter. It wasn't in front of the guy. Yeah, laughter sometimes could be a, you know, socially inappropriate if you laugh at the wrong time. You know, they'll consider you something like on some, you know, you may have to take a course in people skills. Now, you can't laugh inappropriately, but you know, I'm talking about by yourself. You know, by yourself, you have to be able to laugh things off. You know, and not worry about it so much. There's a whole mice with the Briska Rav in Eretz Yisrael. They attacked him, and they want the Gedolim of Cheskel Abramsky and others. Wanted to make a whole protest in the honor of the Briska Rav, who they viewed as the Gadol Hadar, and the Briska Rav mamish refused. He could not make any defense on my behalf. Just let it drop. He felt let it drop. They wanted to do it. I'll cover the Torah. You can't listen to him. I'll cover the Torah. But the Briska Rav found out they were going to do it, and he told them, "Shem Ofer, and you can't do it. You can't do anything to defend his honor." And I don't know. Obviously, some cases you have to ask. You have to know when someone. You have to know if someone's really insulting you. You have to know. You got to know. You got to be smart enough to know. And some things have to. You have to defend yourself. I'm not giving a generic klal of how to deal with every case. But one thing we do have to know is that people are easily insulted, and if you cannot take it personally, it's good. Very often, it'll just correct itself. The person will apologize, and if you want to apologize, if nothing will come from it, you could just let it pass and have to see the person again. It's also fine, and to realize that people are so sensitive, to try and bavorn some of the things that happen. Remember that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is getting insulted. They didn't cry about Moshe Rabbeinu's Levaya. Oh, good. Some of the people, obviously, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, they cried about Aaron, they didn't cry about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like hard to fathom. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. And then don't think people were upset. You know, Rav Itzela, they had to run out of town. Rav Isazal Meltzer had to leave Europe to go to Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, we said the Maaseh Rav David, crazy stories they said about Rav David. The rumors that they spread, it's not believable. You wouldn't believe such a story of the lowest lowlife, you know, the things that people were saying. It's much hard to imagine such things. But that is the... Unfortunately, that's human. You have to be prepared sometimes that could happen also. It's, you know, not good. You have to sometimes be able to defend yourself, but you also have to know that it could happen. I think my first day, I've told this story over, I go to Marv, my first day as Rosh Hashiva, the right chait left,
my first day on the job, LL1. So I was here and got a letter addressed to Rabbi Mordechai Palgan, Rosh Yeshiva. I was like, wow, my first letter is Rosh Yeshiva. So I opened the letter. One insult after the other. The person didn't even know who I was. He looked up to see who's Rosh Yeshiva. And evidently someone went in to buy something from a store to give out to the community on behalf of the yeshiva, and he got a good deal from the person, and they came into the yeshiva, and right now someone said, oh, that they don't have hashgacha. So they had hashgacha, but they had an individual hashgacha. We only use vad hashgacha. So the person went back and said, I'm sorry, you know, I don't know why they said this, yeshiva doesn't use your hashgacha. So they got very insulted. They sent, who's the yeshiva there? They looked up, you know, Mordechai Palga, and I can give a penny to the yeshiva. The yeshiva has no way bullets, and you're small-minded, and you're this, and you're that. And brought it home to my wife. Look, you know, they can't do, you know, there's very little covered. Rabbi Che told, it says the story that the yeshiva told him not to come to Miami. He didn't think he could handle the insults that were be surely ahead. That's right. Chait says the story. I'm just repeating it from Rabbi Chait. And then he eventually came a year or two later, and, you know, the Roshiva said, now you're ready. And I asked Rabbi Chait, the Kachava? He said, the Kachava. Insult after insult. You have to be ready. It's part of leadership. You can't be arrogant. Sometimes the insults are true. You know, you have to be able to correct some of the things that we do. You have to be able to handle some criticism. Some we do wrong things, and there are a lot of things we can correct. You have to be ready to make changes. That's all. That's okay. It's okay to do that. Okay, Hatzlacha Rabba.